Just about to wrap up the session for this year with one full week left and a very busy week this week. Among the actions taken by the Senate this week and the entire legislature was an override of the veto on Senate Bill 24, which was reform for TANF.
That's right. That was a fairly significant vote, I think, for the people of Missouri. You know, one of the things that was brought up in debate and I think is significant to remember is that TANF is temporary assistance for needy families. And it was pointed out that there is significance to the word temporary. Missouri was actually, our program actually provided TANF benefits for up to 5 years. And I don't know how many people who would consider anything in their lives and project them for 5 years and consider that temporary. But that's where we had gotten significant issues there. One, of course, is the cost to the taxpayer. That's a significant cost. And the other is the development of a culture of dependency, because not only would we provide benefits for 60 months, but we did not have any work requirements during that 60 months. A recipient did not have to be working. They didn't have to be applying for jobs. And so that was probably one of the major reforms that was introduced in Senate Bill 24. We reduced the time period back to the 45 months. People have to at least start thinking about working within a few months, within a couple of years, and then they actually have to start thinking about work right away, because they either have to be, with the new language, they either have to be working or they have to be actively pursuing work in order to even apply for TANF benefits. And then they have to continue to demonstrate that they are actively pursuing work. I think that is major, both in terms of the direction of our culture and in terms of the direction of the state budget.
In the remaining week, I think we're approaching the deadline for the governor to take action on the budget bills that he was given, and I believe there'll be some sort of recourse from the legislature depending on what withholds are made. In this remaining week coming up, is there anything that you're looking at as crucial either for passage or for not being passed?
Well, there are a number of things. One of the things that we passed this week was House Bill 42. It's actually the transfer bill, but it also has significant number of choice issues dealt with there. You can call them education reform. We were doing our best to give students that either were not being, I guess, educated effectively in our traditional schools or whose schools were failing them, like Normandy and Riverview Gardens and possibly some other schools that could very easily fall into an unaccredited status. We give those parents choices so they could have opportunities for their children to be educated. And we've gotten that to the governor. That was, I think, a major accomplishment. But you're right. The budget, any budget vetoes that the governor is doing should be back to us right away. I don't remember exactly the day. I was thinking it was either going to be tomorrow or Monday that we would have to know what the governor was going to do. That does give us a week to work through those and see if any of those need to be overridden. It doesn't change the governor's power to withhold. So there are still that threat to anyone who's receiving funds from the state. The governor hasn't shown necessarily a good faith effort to only do those where they hurt the least, but that's within his jurisdiction and it's under his authority, and he's able to do that however he pleases. He's the governor. And then our response must be appropriate to whatever his actions are. And if we see some vetoes that the Senate and the House believe ought to be overridden, I think you'll see those taken up. They'll have to start in the House because all budget bills start there, and that's the way an override vote begins. That will have to be done. I'm hoping that we will see right to work on the floor before the end of this session. I think that's something that has maybe some of the most significant potential for Missourians in the future. The states that have enacted right to work are outperforming us in a number of areas, including wages, which is one of the attacks that forced unionization supporters will use against right to work, is that, well, wages will drop. But if you look at the states immediately surrounding us, you see the average wages actually being above the average wages in Missouri. It's difficult to find any substantiation for that threat. You'll see businesses moving into right-to-work states more frequently than non-right-to-work states. You'll see a lot of freedoms draw prosperity. And that's one, I think, that can be demonstrated effectively, that the freedom to choose whether or not you will be a part of a labor union should be in the hands of the employee. And those states that are allowing the employee that freedom are seeing the kinds of prosperity that we would like to see in Missouri.